Welcome to the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dierman, where Jerry reads a chapter from the New Testament and gives us key insights and life applications along the way. For more information about the Solid Life Journal and reading plans, visit solidlives.com. And now, let's get into today's reading.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 today, and from the New King James Version, the Apostle Paul writing, and here's what it says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That's really a powerful verse and often overlooked. But notice he says, "Therefore, having these promises," what promises? Well, in chapter 6, it ended by saying, quoting from the Old Testament, Father God saying this, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters." So he says, therefore, having these promises that if we'll come out from the unbelievers, come out from people who are not walking with God and serving God the right way, then God will become our father. He'll have fellowship with us. He'll be our partners, walking us through life. And he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So he was talking about being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, hanging out with sinners, not to get them saved like Jesus did, but because they're just your friends and you laugh at the same jokes and such, but there's going to be compromise in there. And so he says, look, if God's really in your heart, does God want to sit there and listen to those jokes that are perverse and, you know, shady and such? And the conversation that does not acknowledge the lordship of Jesus and give glory to God, but is more focused on the flesh and selfishness and so on, belittling other people and, you know what I mean, being opinionated. He's saying, look, God, if you want God to fellowship with you and to hang around with you and be your partner, you can't try to drag him into those things. If you really want to have fellowship with God, then here's what we need to do. We need to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Well, we know a lot about the filthiness of the flesh, talking about sin, sexual sin, and the lust, and overeating, looking at the wrong things, listening to the wrong things, watching the wrong things, etc. You know the flesh. But notice he doesn't only say cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh, but also of the spirit. And so we're thinking, wait a minute, I thought chapter 5 said if your spirit's born again in Christ, old things have passed away. Well, they did pass away. Then what does Paul mean that we believers need to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the spirit? Well, he's not talking about your righteous born-again spirit, because that spirit has been already cleansed and you're renewed. But he's talking about spiritual things. Spiritual things. In other words, there are believers who are genuinely born again, but they entertain in their homes demonic spirits. Did you know if you're watching pornography? Did you know if you're watching perverse things on television and you're hearing people use the name of the Lord in vain and those kinds of things? You are welcoming demonic spirits into your home, into your atmosphere, into your lifestyle. And be honest, if God's inside of you, how can those two mix? So Paul's saying, look, if you want the blessing of God, the fellowship with God, you cannot have all that filthiness around you. It would be like having a house where, you know, you just had McDonald's wrappers, you know, you ate McDonald's and you just crumbled up everything. You threw it in the corner and then you threw this and a half-eaten cheeseburger over there and French fries over there and just filthiness. And over time, the months, everything's piling up. And can you imagine God coming and knocking on your door and you inviting him in? Can you imagine, like, and he looks around, he's not going to be comfortable. I wouldn't be comfortable. You wouldn't be comfortable. You wouldn't want to sit down. You'd want to get out of there as fast as possible. And that's what happens when we condone the filthiness of sin in our lives, when we allow evil spirits because of our lifestyle, because of our compromises, and we allow these evil spirits to be around us. And sometimes believers are so oblivious to it, they don't realize this. And this is what the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul is saying to us. Look, first of all, separate yourself from the unbelievers, because the way that they live, what they're willing to watch, what they're willing to listen to, the lifestyle that they're willing to engage in, the comments that they make, the belittling, the opinions, the criticisms, and all that, you'll think it's normal. But it's not normal to a true believer, a mature believer. It's certainly not normal to God. See, our job is to become like Jesus. And Jesus does not live like that. He does not treat people that way. He does not give place to sexual sins and all that perversity and such. And if we think that we can just make those compromises and for God to want to just dwell with us and have fellowship with us, Paul's saying no. Because we have these promises where Father God says, I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters. I'll walk you through life. We'll be together in life. Paul said, these are such great promises that Creator God would want to do this with us. And what should we do? Cleanse ourselves. It's not worth doing those things. We should stay pure before the Lord so that He'll walk with us, bless us, and we can fellowship with Creator God like Adam did in the garden. I mean, this is the benefit that we have today. And so Paul's saying, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I think there's a big deficiency of the fear of God in the church world today, where people treat God so casually, like He's just a friend. Oh yeah, He saved me and everything. That was really great. And okay, that's great. But we still kind of all choose our own way, not realizing, wait a minute, Jesus laid His whole life down for us and wanted to exchange His life for ours. We're supposed to lay our whole life down for Him and not choose our own way, but say, Lord, whatever pleases You, that's what I want to do. And so I know I've taken a lot of time here on this first verse, but this first verse is so important, especially coming out of chapter 6. And it goes on to say in verse 2, open your hearts to us. Paul saying, don't close off because I'm talking this way to you. Open your hearts. Let's talk about this honestly. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. This is very interesting because you remember where the Apostle Paul started. He started as a Pharisee that was determined to persecute and destroy the church of God. He did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. And he would imprison, and people were put to death under his leadership and watch. And so he would even say, oh, because of my past, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. But here, notice he says, we've wronged no one. We've corrupted no one. We've cheated no one. Well, what does that mean? That means that what he talked about in chapter 5, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul said, that happened to me. And since that, I haven't cheated you. I haven't wronged you. And so he's saying, open your heart to us. We're not like other people who are taking advantage of you. We're being straightforward. We're pouring our hearts out. We're here to sacrifice, to help you, to have this kind of fellowship with God, and most of all, to be saved. So he said, we've wronged no one, cheated no one. Verse 3, I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts, to die together, to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. How could you be joyful in tribulation? Well, this is what Paul's saying. I'm joyful in all that I'm going through the adversity because I know I'm going through these adverse situations and fighting the devil and enduring being beaten, persecuted for preaching the gospel. I rejoice in this, and I am exceedingly joyful because I know by doing these things, it's blessing you. It's helping you to really know the Lord, to know the truth. And even today, as we're reading, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is right there with us, and I'm hopeful that you can sense the Holy Spirit is reaching out to you and saying, are you hearing the heart of God? Are you hearing His invitation, His plea to come and be right, to walk in holiness and obedience so that you could have fellowship with Him? So it's such a privilege that God would talk to us like this. Verse 5, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. He's saying, we worked so hard. Our bodies had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, don't you love that? Comforted us by the coming of Titus. You can see how important it is to have partners in the ministry, good, mature believers that come and they strengthen you and they just sort of pick up your spirit and help you to say, okay, I can do this. And that we need to be like that for one another, strengths to one another. I was comforted by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation or the comfort with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. In other words, he's saying Titus had been with you Corinthians, and when he came, he not only strengthened me by being with me in his fellowship, but when he told me of how encouraged he was at the fellowship that he had with you Corinthians and how that bolstered his strength and confidence, he said that bolstered me to hear that he was so comforted by you Corinthians. Verse 8, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret. He's talking about the 1 Corinthians letter that required that they turn that one person in sexual immorality over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And he gave some other corrections in that letter as well. He said, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. He said, I had second thoughts about it. And I thought, oh man, was I too strong? And I'm just speculating, but I think I sense what he's saying here. He's saying, I did regret it. Now, we know it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, so he's not saying I should not have written it or I did something wrong. He's just saying, oh, but I began to regret it because I wondered how you would receive it and if you would hear my heart in all of this or if you would take it wrongly and feel like it was too harsh, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle that made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. So notice he's saying here that they repented when they realized that they had let that sin go in this person. They weren't confronting this strong enough with this person that was just living in open sin. This is why in the body of Christ today, it's not that we don't love people, it's that we do love people. But there are certain people that will come into church and such, and they want to live a lifestyle that the Bible forbids. And a lot of people will say, oh, we should just love them, love them, love them. Well, okay, we do want to love them, of course. But to give them the impression that living lifestyles that the Bible forbids is okay, and we can just all hang out and get along because it's just a preference or if it's just a difference of opinion, Paul's saying, no, he confronted that among the Corinthians, and apparently they received that correction and they repented for the way that they were condoning that sin. He goes on to say, for you were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. So you were made sorrowful in a godly manner. There's an ungodly sorrow, a grief, but there's a godly sorrow that's like, oh man, I realized what I did wrong and I'm sorry I did it. And so that causes me to repent. Verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. So there's a wrong sorrow that just gets depressed and it leads you toward doing wrong. But there's a godly sorrow where you realize you've done wrong, you take responsibility, you repent, and then it leads to something good. So he says there is a good sorrow that we should feel and allow to lead us toward repentance. So he goes on to say in verse 11, for observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. So Paul's saying, I didn't just write it because of that one person that was in sexual immorality, nor for those who were violated. But he's saying, I wanted you to see that I care for all of you and that I wanted that to be stopped so that that sin doesn't spread, so that all of you are not vulnerable, because we are vulnerable to things we allow near us, like a virus. If you get too close to a virus, it gets on you. And sin is a spiritual virus, and it's deadly. And so Paul is saying, I was concerned for all of you because you were allowing that to have a close proximity to the body of Christ. So notice he goes on to say here, verse 13, therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. In other words, I bragged on all of you Corinthians to Titus. And when he got there, he realized that what I had said was true, that you really were that fervent and zealous for the things of God and such. Verse 15, and his affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore, I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. I just love this relationship between the Apostle Paul and the church at Corinth, which is not unsimilar to the church at Ephesus and the church of the Colossians and so on. But I just love this fatherly relationship, and he's opening his heart to instruct them and talk to them. And let me tell you, these words make a difference. Words matter. The words that you hear, the words that you read, the words that you ingest, the words that we're focusing on right here in this little 15-minute or 20-minute time in the Word, these words go into our hearts and they change us. They change us. So that's why we always have to focus on God's words. God's words change us, because God's words are pure and God's words are righteous. Thank God.
Thank you for joining us for the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dierman. And thank you to those of you who have partnered with Solid Lives to help get this daily podcast and other resources like it to thousands of people around the world. If you would like to partner with Solid Lives, visit solidlives.com/give. To find out more about the ministry of Solid Lives, how you can be a part of this church planting and disciple making movement, or for more great teachings and resources by Jerry, visit solidlives.com. We also want to invite you to check out Jerry's other podcast called The Jerry Dierman Podcast. Here, Jerry shares with us at least weekly from God's Word, challenging us and equipping us to fulfill the amazing plan that God has for our lives. You can find links to this podcast, as well as Jerry's YouTube channel, online at solidlives.com. Thank you again so much for joining us, and we'll see you right here tomorrow as we jump into the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dierman.